I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast. This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 418. This is all speculation because I don't know.
Home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sissa.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to 2015, y'all. Woo!
It's the first podcast of the new year.
It's the first podcast of a new year, Panda.
Holy fuck.
Holy. I'm fuck. So glad you got those fucks out of the way.
Had to.
Because we are an explicit podcast.
So that's not changing anytime soon.
No. I resolve to never change that. We tried to do that one time, and the amount of editing that goes into taking all of those words out, it's just, it's astronomical. It's just crazy.
It's a fuck ton of time.
It really is, because, you know, and people ask sometimes, like, do you really curse that much? And I'm like, yes. Actually, yes. It's not a persona or a thing that I do. Sleep. I do. I curse in my sleep. I curse
shit
in my
damn,
waking
fuck
time.
Damn.
Oh, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck. You know, those are good words. Because sometimes you need adult words to really convey the feeling that you're having. Sometimes garsh dilly darn just doesn't do it.
I mean, sometimes it works for me.
Sometimes it works. You know, especially when you're trying to be funny. But sometimes, oh, you need a motherfucker in there. So, you know, 2014 was a motherfucker. 2015, I'm hoping for all kinds of good things. So I'm going to be talking about a lot of games today. I'm going to be talking about a couple animes that I'm not going into detail. I'm just going to name a few that I think if you haven't watched yet, 2015 is a great time to do so, especially because you can binge them. Panda's got some stuff there, too, to talk about. And
I've got some anime stuff to talk about.
You know? So, first things on my list for 2015 that I got to talk about is the outage. And I know for any of you...
The power outage?
No. I know for any of you who are console gamers, who maybe for the holiday were gifted a new console and games and thought, hey, I'm going to jump right into this and get right online and do this. Well, Lizard Squad had some other ideas for you. So for those not in the know...
I don't know.
Which anybody listening to this podcast is definitely in the know.
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You do. Oh, wait, no, you
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, because you had a different holiday experience than anybody else.
Yes, I did.
So for the rest of us mere human mortal beings, there was a denial of service attack.
Oh, no!
On Xbox Live and PlayStation Network.
Of course.
That started on Christmas Eve, and did not end, like, really, for at least for the PlayStation people, to, with regularity, be able to access PSN again, until the following Sunday.
You know, I feel like this hack group must have been a bunch of concerned parents about...
No.
I know, but in my mind, because of the denial of service, mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want Timmy in front of the games his whole Christmas vacation. So let's hack the system.
Yeah. No. No. So, imagine if you will.
I will.
You are a young child who has been desperately pining away for a PS4.
I'm Timmy!
Okay, why is it always Timmy? But we always go to Timmy. Timmy is always the kid to go to.
Yeah.
Like, even on South Park, Timmy! Like, anyway, psychological thing, tangent, coming back. You get said PS4.
Oh my god, the thing I wanted.
For Christmas.
That's Timmy.
Santa beloved you. And
Santa
now,
loves me!
And now, you're plugging in your system. Maybe
my mommy won't let me use outlets.
Maybe it's the white Destiny bundle, let's say.
I wanted the white one!
And you connect to your router, you put in your game, and it says, nope, zero's down. Can't talk to PSN. Nope, can't create account.
Mammoth's broken!
Yep. Now imagine that goes on for 5 days.
It's like Hanukkah, but reverse.
Okay. It's like the worst thing that could happen. Like, imagine, remember your Christmas breaks when you were in school? And how much you looked forward to, like, all the video game stuff and, like, game stuff you could do with friends and playing outside and shit.
I really like playing with my, what was that thing from Home Alone? The Talk Boy.
Okay. And remember how much you looked forward to just having, knowing that you were going to have all this time, that you weren't going to be in school, you were going to be able to do this thing.
Yep.
Now, imagine that you're that same age with that enthusiasm, but the thing is, your video game console. And whether you got an Xbox One or PlayStation 4, you couldn't do jack on the internet on that thing. So if you had a game that specifically required
you to be on, you were fucked.
Correct. I can't tell you how many times I was like, is it connecting now? Is it connecting now? Is it connecting now? It's not connecting now. Because I had, like, planned my break, because my day job was closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So I was like, alright, cool. I don't have plans until Christmas Day, so Christmas Eve, I'm going to run up, I'm going to work on my Titan, I'm going to get my Titan to 20, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to do a little bit of Crucible, because there'll be new people in the Crucible, so I figured levels would be lower, I would stand more of a chance of actually staying alive. Yep, no connection. And people at first were like, okay, we know what happens with a denial of service attack. But for, like, people who play Destiny or people who play, you know, other games that rely
on
the internet to even do single player anything, it really was quite frustrating. And you never got a straight answer. And there were pockets that would come up for a while and go back down on both the Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network. What ended up happening was the Xbox Live network came back up to full functionality before the PSN network. So there were lots of memes going around of, like, people with unhappy faces talking about, so looking at my TV and my PSN, like, My favorite one was a shot of Dame Maggie Smith from
Downton Abbey?
No.
Oh.
From Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. It's Professor McGonagall.
Yeah, when she's looking out on the court and she has that frowny face.
Oh, McGonagall.
And it was just, like, just staring at my PS4, like... or PS4 network, PSN got me, like, with all these faces. It was quite hysterical. People were making GIFs. It was fun to see at least people trying to be creative and have fun with it.
Right.
As opposed to just, like, being completely off the deep end ranting. But there were some people that started getting concerned with games like Destiny that have specific timed events, like Xur.
Yes.
Who
I thought they... plan to extend his visit because of the issue.
They did. And I think that, like, that's one of the things that I think in this kind of situation, it's a really great thing to see a company do when they know that they have timed events like that. It was because the Destiny servers went down separate from PSN being down. So I don't know if it was just so many people trying to hit the network or if they themselves were also under a DDoS attack. But once they were able to get the servers back up and running, because both PSN and Xbox Live were having issues, they did listen to the community going, hey, I'm not going to be able to get into Xur this weekend. Like, this is ridiculous. I got my coins and all this stuff. And they immediately came back out and said, hey, we know you guys are having a problem, so we're going to keep Xur around a whole extra day. So he's going to be available all Sunday day, and we're probably going to make him available Monday. And we'll keep an eye on the servers, and if things continue to be an issue, we promise we'll keep them around as long as possible. And I thought, you know, that's a really wonderful thing to do for your community. So rather than saying, hey, you're about to not be able to get in on this thing, we're gonna actually change the programming around and change the timer around and keep this guy around a little bit longer. For you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and it shows that they appreciate their community. And I thought, alright, good job, Bungie. That kind of sort of makes up for the Cryptarch being a dick. Not completely, but kind of.
I think he becomes less of a dick later, or at least that's what it seems like in my encounter.
And that's just because you probably got a good random number generator going right now.
Everyone talks about the number generator. I don't get it.
Yeah, so everything that you get is tied to a random number generator. So the loot drops and all that kind of stuff, it's all determined by random number generator. So depending upon the number you get, when you, for instance, turn in a bounty or you turn in Engram determines what that Engram's going to turn into. So Engrams aren't predestined. It's basically a random number. When you turn it in, whatever number your thing picks at the time is associated to
a scout rifle, a fusion rifle,
a mode of light, or whatever. So if you've got a bad random number generator with your account, sucks to be you, you're not going to get great drops.
Well, I mean, someone thought it was really weird that before I even hit 20, I already had my Cryptarch up to, like, level 10.
Yeah, no, I had my Cryptarch way higher than 10 when I hit 20. And it just depends on how you use the Cryptarch. Like,
I mean, I turned everything.
Right, but you can also buy stuff from the Cryptarch. And you get Cryptarch points for every Engram he decodes. So when I first got in the game, I didn't spend any money on weapons initially. Because I didn't know any better, blew all my money on Cryptarch Engrams. Like, everyone that turned green, I'd buy, like, 6 in a row. And have them... So on one of my characters, my Cryptarch's almost 30. And I still don't get great shit with my Cryptarch.
I mean, I'm level 12 now, and I just got, like, because he emails you, you get stuff every level after a certain point. And, like, literally all of them were, like, purples and one mode of light.
Yeah, that don't happen for me.
Oh.
Yeah, so you got a good random number generator. I have a bad one. And once you've created your account, whatever one that you've rolled is the one that you have. So that's why you probably see people, like, talking about, gotta play with gotta pray to RNGesus. To hopefully give you them good grams. Because, yep, RNGesus.
What does the RN mean?
Random number generator.
Oh,
RNGesus.
Got it. Got it.
So you gotta get right with them. That's how you get them in. But I really thought that it was a wonderful thing that the Bungie crew did for the community because, yeah, it wouldn't be a big deal because he'd be back the following week with stuff.
Yeah, but who's to say that the stuff that he brought the next time around would be the stuff that...
It wouldn't have been the same stuff. It's completely different stuff. And so I think good on you for doing the right by your community, and I thought it was cool. And then as far as making up for stuff, you know, PSN had a long time that it was down, which isn't surprising because it's so many things are tied into the PSN network, like your video applications, your game saves, cloud saves, all that kind of stuff. And there are both previous systems and new systems on those same servers. It's not surprising that it took a little bit longer to get back up. But Sony's also offering a little bit of a make good as well, which, you know, they don't have to do. I mean, there are things that are in all these guys' terms of services when you sign up with them that say that they're not responsible for outages or your network connections and things like that. But they did do a little bit of a, hey guys, we know it kind of sucked that you had no PSN for Christmas. And many of you got new systems for Christmas, and you couldn't do any with, because PSN was down, you couldn't create an account.
Right.
So there was no going in and downloading at least Netflix or YouTube or any of those apps to do any streaming on, because you couldn't create your account to even do that. So Sony, after they were able to get everything back up and running for everybody, pretty much by the Sunday evening after Christmas, recently said that for everyone that has PlayStation Plus, they're extending everyone's membership for 5 days.
Okay.
So you're basically getting an extra week of PS Plus.
Okay.
Regardless of whatever subscription level that you have. So whether you did the 3 month or the whole year, you're getting an extra week. And that's just for everyone off the bat. And they're also offering 10% discounts on purchases in the PlayStation Store. So if you are wanting to get this game, any game, there's a 10% off that you can use for it in the PSN Store. Which, you know, is, I think, super nice considering it's not like they had to do anything. Other than say, hey, it's back, enjoy it, guys, and deuces. Appreciate your patience. To my knowledge, I haven't seen anything that Microsoft has done. I could be wrong. They may have offered up something for a Games with Gold game, but I'm not recollecting any, like, hey, Xbox network was down, live was nowhere to be seen, so here's a free game. I think it's a good thing for Sony to do. I think a 10% discount, though, is a little light for 5 days with no network.
Okay.
I would like to have seen them, like, give everybody, regardless of whether or not they have PlayStation Plus, access to the PlayStation Plus games for December. Just, like, pick one of these for free.
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah, you know, because there are games that were already sitting in PlayStation Plus. It'd be an easy way to introduce people to PlayStation Plus if they hadn't already got it when they got their system for Christmas. But it's not the way that they went. Again, they didn't have to do anything. I'm grateful for the 10% off. I don't really have anything that I'll be using it for because I already ordered my copy of the Order 1886. And as much as I wanted to do the collector's edition, I didn't. So see, I'm sticking in my resolution, all right? 3 collector's editions a year, and the Order is not one of them. So, with that being said, I hope that a lot of developers can learn from this and make sure that when they're creating games that they're not 100% dependent on
always online. Yeah.
Because that's like the frustrating part of the whole thing wasn't that it was down, because you expect for things to be down. Like, even the Bungie team put out messages of like, hey, we expect a bunch of people to be getting this game for Christmas, and there's going to be a lot of noobs, and there's probably going to be some server things. Please be patient, both with new players and with our servers and all that kind of stuff, which is a good thing. So you expect for there to be downages when there's high levels of use. We all know how the pipes work. When everybody's on the tube, bandwidth gets restricted. But I think that the thing that I learned here was, and I hope the developers learned it, again, is that you need to have at least something of your game that is playable when the network is not available, regardless of whether or not that's on the user's end or it's on the provider end. You know, a bunch of people switched to playing games like Grand Theft Auto and just not the online piece because at least they could still do something.
Right.
You know, the same thing with Assassins. Some people would jump into that and then jump back out because some of the fun things that you really want to do, you can't do unless you're doing the companion piece and that kind of stuff. So I hope that it's a lesson to developers that they need that piece for the just-in-cases in the world that happen. Not that the internet's always going to go out or go down, but you need to have a backup
plan. Yeah, you need to have that contingency.
Yeah.
If then, then this.
Yep. So I ended up watching Bond movies. Because I was like, hey, Bond collections on iTunes, 23 of the Bond movies. So I get to watch them in order from beginning to end.
What do you think about the new one that they're teasing about Spectre?
Here's the thing. I wanted to...
Because I don't think Daniel Craig is going to be...
Yeah, Daniel Craig's in Spectre.
Oh, is he Bond in that Spectre?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Daniel Craig, I think, still has 2 Bond movies on his contract before his run's up.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Daniel Craig is in Spectre.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure if he has 2 Bond movies left or just 1 more left in his run. It just depends on what they've contracted for. But, no, I'm excited for Spectre. I thought that Skyfall was fantastic. I got a little misty. Spoiler alert. I got a little misty when Judi Dench died.
Right.
I thought that she did a wonderful job as M, but I think setting up Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. To be M is a perfect fit as well.
Well, it makes sense because some people might remember...
Yeah, the original Bonds being
a dude.
So, you know, I thought that it was really good. I really enjoyed all of Skyfall, and I thought that Daniel Craig did a really good job in it, so I'm looking forward to Spectre. I'm not exactly sure why people are doing so much shade on it. I think having 2 lead Bond girls are amazing. I think having a Bond girl over 50 is phenomenal, and of course, I would bang that chick if I was, like, a dude, or a chick that liked chicks. I would totally hit that, regardless of her being 50. She looks fantastic for 50, so...
Lucky her.
Like, I don't have any issues. Like, I have none.
Okay. I was just curious. Because, I mean, I didn't jump into the latest Bond until I think you had me watch Quantum Solace.
Yeah, I would have had you watch Quantum of Solace. I would not have had you watch Casino Royale.
So, and I didn't.
Yeah.
So I started with that one. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then Quantum's I followed from bad. There, mm-hmm. which were all really good. And Skyfall, I don't think I got as misty as you, but I was obviously like, aw. And then when they kind of revealed that the chocolate goddess that he kind of encounters in that is going to be...
It's not going to be. It's Moneypenny.
Is Moneypenny.
Yes.
And I'm
when
like...
they finally go that, and they're like, I know, that's how, when the movie ends, I'm like, Moneypenny is black!
And I'm like, and he's gonna love her and never touch her ever! Damn like, me. That sucks! We're not gonna get a hot, steamy scene there. Which that's irks okay. me.
But still, Moneypenny's black.
And I was happy about that. Okay. Was that...
So that's my first piece.
Okay.
I'm going to let you do a piece, and then I'll do another piece.
Okay.
So I'll make a panda sandwich.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Panda sandwich!
So on my side of the world, I had a very interesting Christmas. I will leave it at that.
Yep.
Not a Christmas I think a lot of people would want to do, and that's fine.
And not a Christmas I think that you would want to repeat.
No. No. Nope. Nope.
Panda lesson learned. Stamp. So,
sometimes I... Sometimes I feel like my panda hand sees the flame and it's like, it's hot. It's hot. You know that's fire, right? And my instincts are like, shove your hand in there. What's the worst that could happen? And then...
You shove your hand in there.
And then your hand, like, melts off. And then you're like, that's the worst that could happen.
Yep.
And
well, sepsis. Sepsis is always the worst that could happen.
So, but when things finally got back to a regular panda level... I was cruising the Crunchyrolls for some new series to watch.
And, there's a bunch of great stuff on Crunchyroll.
There are. And I've actually kind of bounced between, because Crunchyroll's really, really great about showing anime and also dramas, mm-hmm. both Korean and Japanese, which is really good.
I think there's a couple of Taiwanese on
I think
there
so, too, but I... Nope, not ready.
Okay.
Not ready.
All right.
So I'm going to talk about two series, actually. One anime and one Japanese. Actually, and I've been really being
Japanese
Korean.
Drama, you mean?
Yeah, a J-drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first, I'll talk a little bit about the J-drama because it actually does have a tie back to the anime world. So a couple of years ago, not even, like a year or so ago, or maybe early 2014, I talked about a series called Future Diary.
Yep.
And I
Are
was...
Are you watching the J-drama about Future Diary?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched it all. I marathoned that shit. That was a given. So for those of you who came into our show after that fact, a brief synopsis, you're a boy who really is not very happy with his life. He gets a phone, and the phone starts telling him things that are going to happen in the future. He begins to exploit that, but then he realizes that through this weird stalker lady that he is involved in a murder game to determine who the new god is going to be of the world.
Right.
And there are 12 players in the game. And the only way you could survive is either kill another Future Diary user or destroy their Future Diary. Primarily, most of the people in the murder game, their Future Diaries were phones, but there were a couple who were that their diaries were not phones. And while that's all going on in the first arc, when you start going to the second arc, you start realizing that maybe some of your allies aren't really allies. But are kind
well,
of sort of
after the death, I would imagine that nobody is actually anybody's ally.
Well, that's weird because the weird stalker chick, you know, because each of the Future Diaries has a particular ability that it can do one thing better than anything else, and hers allowed her to see what he was doing at all times, mm-hmm. which should have been, in my opinion, the minute I found out that someone knows everything I'm doing, that's the last person I'm going to trust.
Yeah, you and I are not going to be allies because...
It's like, you knew I... It's like, oh, you pooped 3 hours ago. Why are you... Why do you know that I... My
why
poop
are you
habits,
checking on my poop habits?
It's like, it was brown and disgusting. You should go to the doctor. Why are you...
Why?
Why is your
why?
Phone sending pictures of my shit
why?
To you?
Why?
Like,
fucking
I would
phone.
Be...
Phone?
See,
that's
concerned.
When I would get a new phone. I would stop using that phone because that phone's a... punk-ass bitch snitching.
So I always thought to myself that it would be a great drama if they actually did it. Well, several years later, you know, several bit of time later, I was scrolling through Crunchyroll because I was kind of looking for a new drama to jump into,
mm-hmm.
and I see Future Diary, and I kind of stopped because I'm like, oh god, did Santa hear my prayer?
Santa heard your prayer.
Well,
Sort of.
Uh-oh.
Not really.
Okay.
So this is not necessarily in the same vein as The Future Diary from the anime
series. Is it a love game instead of, like, a death game?
Oh, no. It's still a death game. Oh,
okay.
But it doesn't take place in the same Tokyo and has homages and paybacks to the original series, but it is a different story.
Okay.
So instead of having a, you know, middle school kid doing all this stuff, it's a college kid. Or at least a college-age kid.
Okay.
He's kind of a neat. He's really carefree. His name's Arata. And he's not worried about the future at all. His father is an established phone maker. Like, he does tech for phones.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom is a happy-go-lucky, like, house mom. And he's like, I'll figure it out when I figure it out. I've got time, blah, blah, blah. I'm carefree, la, 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 la. And, you know, he goes to college, but he doesn't really try in college.
Right, because he knows he's
like, whatever, set. When I'm ready, I'll just go apply for a business and then live my life like dad. Like, he's very not caring about really putting...
He's nonchalant about the whole life thing.
So you see him walking into school, and you see this pink and blue ball bouncing down the street, yeah. Which is kind of weird. And he walks by this ball, and then you see this girl pick this ball up. And the minute I saw this girl, I'm like, oh...
Oh, you know who that was.
Well, here's the thing. I thought, going back to the original series, because I didn't know at this point that it wasn't a full redo of the anime series, but I was like, okay, that's got to be Yuna, who was from the,
Mm-hmm.
And actually her name is Yuna in this series, but she's not the same person. She is kind of stalkery, and she does kind of follow him around, and, you know, he's just like, this is girl who I always kind of see, and, like, she never really approaches him, which, in the anime series, she was kind of right up his butt from day one.
Yep.
And you see him go, and he goes to class, and there's a pop quiz, and all of a sudden his phone, goes off, and... He's looking at his phone, and this little icon in the bottom kind of changes, and it shows a picture of the test with all the answers. So he's like, weird, but sweet. So he starts to copy them down. And her phone, you hear it, if you're paying attention, you hear another phone go off, and you see this teacher walking up the thing, and she, like, taps him on the shoulder to get him to stop looking at the phone. So then the teacher walks by, and it doesn't look like he's cheating. So at the end, he's like, oh, I wasn't cheating. She's like, oh, no, I know. I know you weren't cheating. And, you know, it's like... And he's like, well, you know, thank you. And she's like, you'll see a lot of me. And, like, then it starts getting... Their dialogue becomes very weird at that point. You know, and he's just kind of like, that's really kind of weird. Whatever. And goes about his life. He has two friends that he hangs around with. One who wants to be a teacher himself and has a sister who he's very protective of. And one who's even more of a slacker than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, all of a sudden, there's all these reports of murders happening in their area of all these people who have this particular type of phone. They all, either they're gray or they're blue. And all these phone users who have blue phones have been being murdered by this ice pick murderer who always uses his left hand. And the criminal justice major in me is kind of like, okay, if you've already been able to discern that he's left-handed and ice pick, I'm like, I would look at any convenience store that uses, like, there's a lot of things I wouldn't be doing. But they're starting to introduce characters. So some of the Future Diary users that they were showing in this version are parallel to ones that we did encounter in the anime series, like the murderer one. He was a diary user that would allow him to pick out victims.
Mm-hmm.
We also encounter a cop who has a Future Diary that allows him to get notes and good leads on cases, but that's the only way that his phone works.
Okay.
And then we have Arata, who's just apparently has just a regular diary. And I kind of felt bad for him because, I mean, just like with the main character of the anime version, like, it seems like every episode someone was trying to kill him. So, like, dead end. Like, his phone was just, he was just the dead end diary because, like, they never gave it enough time to figure out what his Future Diary special ability was. You know, and you find out that Yuno's phone allowed her to see everything that was happening to Arata. So, like, mm-hmm. she always came in on the pinch to save him when a dead end would show up. But you find out, and I'm going to spoil it for you, but it's definitely something if you enjoyed Future Diary, then you will enjoy this series. Up until a point, at one point, I'm like, this is getting a little too predictable even for me. You find out that because they only have 7 users in this version, the J-drama. And you find out that these 7 people were in a fire, and they're all in a coma. And Arata's father, while doing tech for this phone, was also making technology, making virtual reality for coma patients so that they could keep their brains active while they were trying to find ways to
wake them up.
And these seven were at the best timing because they had managed to open up Olympia, which is this virtual reality world. And there's a safety system called Deus, like Deus Machina from the original series. And it's kind of going haywire right now. Something's wrong with it. And it is powerful enough to not only maintain this virtual reality world that these seven and, you know, all these NPCs that are living in this world, but it is pretty much deciding that humanity doesn't deserve to live and is now deciding that it wants to weed out humanity. So it's starting to attack humanity. Like, it's starting to terrorize. It's malfunctioning lights so that there's these horrible accidents. It's shutting off life supports in certain hospitals. Like, it's very aggressively trying to eradicate, you know, the world or cause more accidents to get people to be more uploaded into Olympia. That's my thought on that.
It's probably trying to get more people into comas to be put into it.
Yeah. So
it can control them.
So you don't find this out until halfway through the series, because at one point, you know, you kind of see Yuna doing some weird stuff because she's able to go through the world. And, you know, from your experience in the anime, if you watch the anime first, you already have an inkling that she might not be of the world and she may not necessarily be a coma patient either. So, like, you know, she's got some higher knowledge that she's not sharing with you and she's not sharing with the other diary users. You know, and Arata is like, I know there's something up and I know you're not telling it to me and I need to know, and she can't. And at first I thought she was just going to be batshit crazy like the original Yuno from the original Future Diary, but she's not. In this version, she, in the outside, in the real world, I shouldn't say outside, in the real world, she was dating Arata. And she was there the night that the fire happened in the planetarium. And she was also in a coma, but she woke up. And her father, you know, Arata's father's like, he hasn't woken up. We're still trying to figure stuff out. It'd be best if we just went on with your life. And she's like, but I'm really in love with your son. And I absolutely refuse to let this beat us. And she nearly commits suicide. Like, she is so distraught over not being able to be with him that, like, she nearly pitches herself off a building. And his father has an assistant. And she's like, look, she's like, I have a theory. It's dangerous. She's like, you've been in Olympia because you were in a coma, so it knows you. We could theoretically send you back so that you can see what's going on with Deus and maybe try to help us figure out how to shut it down. Because they can't shut him down from the inside because he's a security program. He's able to self-guard himself. So it's like, but you can't tell any of the seven that what you are and what you're doing because they have to keep their bodies unstressed or, like, they'll die. And she's like, so if you meet Arata in that world, you can't tell him that you know, like, you can't do that. And she's like, I won't. She's like, I just want to be there. So, like, she obviously has this knowledge, but she doesn't have the power to say anything. And the thing about it is that female doctor tells her, she's like, I can get you in there, but she's like, you might not be able to come out. Like, that's where the risk is. She's like, you might not be able to come out at the end of it. And she's like, it's completely worth it. So they boot her in, which is why she's able to manipulate. And that lady also stipulates that when she woke up, the world created another her. So that's where they got to play on the dueling Yunos. Because if you watch the first anime version, then you know what I'm talking about. And when she gets downloaded into the world, she goes straight to her house and doesn't kill the other, you know, just knocks her out and throws her into this, like, really creepy-looking well thing in a basement and, like, throws really good food at her every once in a while because Yuna is apparently rich in this universe.
Okay.
She, like, well, her parents are dead, but she has this really nice elaborate house. Like, it's kind of weird. Even though this is a murder survival game, they took the liberty of not making it about the murders.
So it's not gruesome.
It's really, like, I mean, the serial murder one, like, you saw him stab people, but, like, it wasn't as gruesome, like, in the anime where you saw everything. Everyone's tactics in this version was more about destroying the phones.
Okay.
You know, and And it's really funny because when a phone got destroyed, the person would, like, slump over, but then they would just disintegrate into blue binary code.
Okay.
Which is supposed to be your first clue that this isn't the real world. And, like, it's happening continuously, and Arata and no one is making mention of it. And you find out that this one girl who's been kind of around everything is involved. She's actually a future diary user, too. But her diary only says lies. So she knows that when her phone says, you know, oh, I saw so-and-so today, she knows she's not going to... So, like, she doesn't trust anything because if it sounds really too good to be true, it because if it comes through her diary, she knows it's too good to be true. And she starts falling for Arata, and she starts seeing things about Yuno that are kind of suggesting that she's not what she seems. And and this other girl is trying to alert Arata to that. And he's like, she has saved me, like, 8 times. And it's like, I know there's something up with her, but she's also keeping me... So she must want to keep me alive for a reason. And you find out that the program, Deus, is looking for a way to maintain itself. Maintain Olympia, more or less than anything. Because it has become sentient enough to realize that the people who made it, the humans, are trying to shut it down. Because they... While it does prolong the brain activity, they haven't been able to find ways to cure these people. And, you know, the more people become in coma, the more people who get hurt and are in a comas, the more stress on Olympia it causes, and they don't think they can maintain
the system.
So they're like, it's kind of a bunk, we need to start all over, and they're trying to scrap it, and Deus doesn't want to not exist anymore. And in Deus's mind, and they've made Deus a woman when it materializes, even though the voice was a dude, you know, she was looking from the 7 coma patients who are in it right now, she was trying to find a human final piece that could... something about using a human host as that final piece would secure Olympia's place. So she created the survival game, not really killing anyone because they're all in a coma, mm-hmm. but wanted to see who had the strongest survival instinct to be that piece to help her maintain Olympia. And for the longest time, it looked like it was going to be Arata. But there is a twist that I won't divulge too much into.
What? No spoiler-licious?
Yeah. It's really good. Like the parallels between the live action and the actual anime are really good. I feel like they put a little too much emphasis in the tech of it all, which, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, to do, and I understand. But, I mean, the thing I think that people really liked about Future Diary was not necessarily the blood and gore, but all the intrigues between all the diary users. And in this game, in this movie, in this show, it just seemed like you were with Arata, you walked 4 steps, oh, there's a diary user, there's an encounter, he wins. Like, it seemed like they just kept throwing them at him, and there wasn't...
Well, you gotta imagine that Future Diary as a live action is very difficult to recreate. Yeah. You know, I mean, there are just... If you're not gonna go for the gore, which it was heavy on, because yeah, it really wanted to stress the imperfections, not happy ending...
Exactly.
Possibility.
I remember.
And you gotta remember, for the audiences that are typically watching this type of stuff, unless it's a straight-up horror movie where they know they're going in for the gore, typically your Japanese, your Korean, and your Chinese series all tend toward the positive.
Right, yeah.
Even though you go through some real heavy emotional shit to get there, they all tend to go towards the positive. And Future Diary did not have a positive ending. So I'm sure that a lot of the changes that they made were to try and at least
curve it a bit.
A bit.
So, which I understand. Which I get. My
but
only...
But you see a Future Diary and you're expecting Future Diary.
Well, I saw another Future... And I mean, it literally was Future Diary, Another World. So, like, I knew we were going to play with a different concept mm-hmm. here. But the thing that drew people in... was all the intrigue between how the diary users, one, use their diaries mm-hmm. to manipulate situations, mm-hmm. and you didn't really see that.
Yeah.
Like, you saw obviously, you know, using her phone to protect Arata, but, like, the police officer who had the case, like, you saw him work one case where he got one lead, but it didn't really, Like, you didn't really get that that's what his diary did.
Okay.
And you didn't meet the lying diary until, like, the second to last episode. So you didn't really even know she was even a player.
Okay.
There was some missed opportunities to really use the fact that these were all diary users. And, you know, because none of them really seemed aggressively outside of the serial murderer one. None of them were really trying to play the game. Because none of them really knew a game was being played. And were not given instructions, really, on how to play. Whereas, in the anime series, they devoted several episodes to, you know, them all re-meeting and saying, okay, well, these ones have been eliminated. Here's who's left.
Well, and Deus even brought them together at one point to give them a rundown of things.
Yeah, which they kind of give a mini one like that, but only three people are in the planetarium when that's given. We know at that point that Arata and Yuno have future diaries, but the other two, we know nothing. We haven't even been really introduced to them yet as people, so they didn't establish who the players of the game were until a little too late. And then it's like, oh, well, now we know all these people, so we just have to keep sending them at Arata, to heighten that tension.
Gotcha.
And so, I mean, the pacing was a little off, but for the material, the source material that they were using, it worked. It worked as well as I would anticipate it would. If they really wanted to do something like this again, I would probably kind of take it back to, back out of the tech stuff. And really look at the connections of the characters, because that's really what that really kind of honed it in for me. That really kind of made me excited for the series. But it is available on Crunchyroll. The characters, you know, the actors were all really, really nice looking. The opening song is also really good. It got me on the maybe 4 seconds in. Like, it really kind of drew me in.
Damn.
It was just kind of, you know, like, I imagine people running. Like, someone's running towards something. There's a goal that they're trying to reach, so, like, you want to see them reach it.
So it's an aspirational theme.
Yeah. So it kind of is like, ooh, what's going to happen? I want to see how that turns out. Quickly, so that you can be the ending bun to this.
Yeah, I'll be the end bun.
Going back into pure anime, I've been watching a series called Your Lie in April,
ooh,
which is definitely out of my general anime go-to zone.
So it's slice of life?
It is slice of life.
Ah! And do I know your taste?
You know my taste.
I know your
taste. I'm not putting my nose down to slice of life because I feel like certain people...
No, but there are just certain buckets that you go to and certain buckets you don't.
And I mean, like, I will watch a slice of life, but it's not my first bucket that I'll reach into to find something enjoyable to watch.
Right.
But in this slice of life, you have a boy. His name is Arima, and he is a piano prodigy.
Okay.
And like when you see him, he's this little boy. He's probably maybe 6, 7.
So he's like Amadeus and shit.
Like he is gifted, and his mom is his instructor. And you find out through some cuts that his mom starts getting sick. She starts developing cancer. And she starts getting a little rough with lessons. And by rough, I mean downright abusive, to the point that, like, literally, like, the way he plays is very methodical, and it's mechanical, and there's no life there. You know, and she made him believe that, you know, every time he won competitions, it made her cancer go away. So he always wanted to win because it made him...
Bad mommy!
It made her feel better. And he goes to this really big competition that no child has ever even placed in, let alone won. And he played beautifully. And they're using actual, like, you know, real music for this, composed and everything. And these are all really beautiful pieces that they're using. You know, and everyone was just up in, you know, clapping for him because they could tell he just clearly won it. And he came out with the trophy and he's like, my mom's going to be so proud of me. She's going to be so proud of me. And she smacks it out of his hands and she's like, that was the worst performance I've ever seen you do. Your timing was off, you know, and like, and it's a hard piece, you know, and this 7-year-old kid is being berated by this woman in a wheelchair with, like, you know, the thing up her nose for oxygen. And everyone around them is, you know, seeing all these bruises because she hits him with rulers. And, like, he is clearly being abused to perfection.
And nobody steps in because it's anime.
And he stops. And, like, because she hits his glasses off, and then he looks up at her, and he kind of has Jaeger eyes from Attack on Titan, like those, and he's just like, I wish she would die already. And then it fast forwards 4 years. He's 11 now. He's 14 now, so he was 10 when that happened. And his mom passed away soon after that incident. And he completely gave up the piano. Doesn't, like, he'll do things at school, like he'll compose pop songs for like a part-time job, but he doesn't play competitively anymore. Like, he just dropped the circuit. And he's got a best friend, Wotari, who is really kind of, you know, all about him. Even though she never really admits that, you know, she's like, no, he's like my brother and I just like to look over him. But she starts developing feelings, you know how this is going to go. And she's like, you know, you need to have a life experience. We're 14 years old. You've never fallen in love. I don't even think I've seen you eat a hot dog. And he's like, they're not good for your nutrition. You know, like he's very methodical and kind of like a metronome. Like he's very predictable. There's no variant. And she's like, you need to fall in love. She's like, we're young. This is what we do. She's like, and when you fall in love, the whole world just bursts out in color. And to him, every time you're in his perspective, the world is in grayscale.
Okay.
Like he's trapped by the trauma that has happened to him. And she's talking about this, and he's like, sometimes around you, he's like, I see you're like a lighter gray than anything else. He's like, and that's how I know you're glowing. He's like, but that's not something for me. And, they're friends with another guy who's, like, super popular, and all the girls kind of want him. And he has multiple girls that he likes, but he doesn't really confine himself to one. Because he's kind of like... But he's not a dick about it either. Like, they're all fully aware that he dates multiple girls. Like, he just likes everybody, and it's kind of fine. And Watari has a female friend named Kaori, who is interested in this popular boy. And she's like, I'd like to meet him. And... Watari's like, oh, well, I'll try to set you up and I'll bring another friend. So, like, it's not like I'm just dropping, like, I'm just bailing you on this guy and we'll make a day of it. And she convinces Kosuke to go. And they meet up in a park and he gets there early because he's so methodical that he just can't not do things the right way.
Right.
And he sees this girl playing with these little kids and she's got a vocoder and she's just playing the song. And all of a sudden you start seeing color happen as he's looking at her, and things are becoming brighter and brighter and brighter. And he's like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is. I don't even know who that is. And she's kind of the Tsundere personality.
Tsundere?
Yeah. So, like, when he first sees her, he's like, oh my god, she's beautiful. And, like, she had been wearing leggings, and she'd taken the leggings off to play on the jungle gym with the kids. So he's looking up at her, and the wind blows up, and her skirt goes up. And, like, he's looking at his phone, but he's not doing anything with it, so she thinks he's taking a picture. So then she all is like, oh, you idiot, you looked up my dad. No, I'll be no good for any man, blah, blah, blah. And, like, she's beating him up. And the two friends show up. They're like, oh, you've already met Kaori. You know, and he's like, oh, this is the girl you're going to set up with, popular guy. And then all of a sudden he starts to retreat back. Because he doesn't think he can compete with his guy friend, which... It's an obvious subplot that does happen in this type of stuff. So you find out in this meeting that Kaori is actually on her way to a music competition, which is why they were meeting at this park, because it was across the street from where she was competing. And Kosei notices the place right away, and he's like, and this is why Watari didn't tell me where we were going, because he doesn't go to these type of things anymore. And she knew that he would say no if she had told him ahead of time. She's like, well, you're already here, so we might as well go. And it's not like you're competing. You're just going to sit and listen. And he's like, okay, fine. Like, he commits to it, and he's kind of interested in this girl. And you find out she's a violinist. And in this competition, they're all playing this piece from Bach, apparently. And everyone's doing it by the book, and everyone's really great. And then she comes out, and she plays, like, her personality. So her tempo was wild, and everyone's just, like, they're enamored with her energy. And, like, Kosei is, like, getting game, like, music boners all over the place for this. And it's hilarious.
He popped a tenor?
A tenor. You're funny. So... I'm only halfway through the series right now because it's simulcasting on Crunchyroll right now. I think I'm about to get into the arc where Kaori has to really kind of decide if she's really going to stay with this initial crush that she had or if she's going to go down that path that would allow her to help Kosei open himself back up to the world of music and the world of love and to have those experiences. There is an episode where she goes and she performs, and after she performs, she passes out.
Okay.
And she's in the hospital. And she's like, oh, no, this is the first time it ever happened. And, you know, and they all kind of walk out, and at the end of the episode, it goes back, and she's like, we've passed out again, and it cuts out. So I think that the title is really kind of airing towards, because they kind of meet a little bit before April. And then this, I think the competition that she passes out in is in April. And I believe she is sick. And I believe she is dying. This is all speculation because I don't know. And I believe that, you know, like, she plays to her heart's content because she doesn't know what her last day is, mm-hmm. when her last day on this earth is going to be. And I think she's going to side with Kosei and kind of show him what life can be and to choose to live instead of to live dying or die living and to stuff exist. Like that. You know, yeah. And I really am interested on how it's going to play out because obviously the love mixes are going to happen. Those animosities between, you know, I like him or I like her and all that stuff has to happen. And I kind of can't wait for that shit to all hit that fan.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be really good. It kind of reminded me a little bit of, what was the series I was... With the whole driven passion towards a goal and the way that Kaori talks about performing kind of reminded me of Kaleidostar a little bit.
Okay.
What's her name?
Sora.
You know, because she's just like, no, you just gotta do it with all your might. You just have to live. And, like, it's all energy all the time with her. And so if that's something you might be interested in or you want to hear some really good classical music, this would be a really good anime for you to, like, sink your teeth into.
That's it. All right. Well, let me be the bun on all of this stuff then. So,
Cause you got buns, hun.
I do. I got two. They're a pair.
Oh, pair of buns.
Pair of buns. So, I've been watching a chunk of anime as well. A couple of recommendations that I have for binge watchers. You know, I know that the holiday is over now, but you still have weekends. And they're not just made for Michelob. So if there's some marathoning that you'd like to do, a couple of recommendations that I have. First and foremost, Sword Art Online. The last arc, I think, is probably the most emotional arc that they've ever created. It's really very well done for an anime to deal with some real issues like coming to terms with having to grow up. And making some adult decisions coming out of your childhood days, dealing with loss, all set with this backdrop of this fanciful thing going on with people coming together and working as a team towards a goal and achieving that, is balanced really well. And the animation is fantastic. So if you've never watched Sword Art, now is a great time because on Crunchyroll you can watch all of the seasons together and basically get through everything that they put in the manga, which I think the manga spans either 7 issues or 9.
Weren't you reading the light novels a bit ago?
Yeah, the manga. Because they're not light novels, they're manga. They're just heavy manga, like a graphic novel.
Okay.
But they're not light novels because they're not about the sex and the relationships. I would akin them more to a graphic novel.
Okay.
But yeah, I got through all of them, which is why I was really excited when they were like, all right, Gunslinger is coming up. I was like, all right, so Gunslinger takes us into this arc and then this arc, because a couple of the graphic novels were filler. There were things that they were doing while they were in Alfheim, so in between, just random missions and more backstories for other people. But the big lines were the first run, the gunsmith, the... ALO run, the Gunsmith run, were the big key arcs in there. So I was really glad to see that they were doing that with that season. So it's a great one to marathon. There's a lot of really good action, but it is balanced, I think, really well with the dramatic moments and a smattering of humor. And they did a little bit more in the last run. But it's really well done, and the voice acting is actually really good. So that's the first one I would recommend for marathoning. The second one that I would recommend for a marathon is Magi.
Okay.
And it'll run you, I think it's upwards of like 48 episodes because there are 24 episodes, I believe, in both arcs.
Okay.
But it's a really good one as well. And that one has a lot of levity to it. So if you're looking for like something cutesy with a little bit of action, but that also has, like, a little bit of seriousness to it. Not a hell of a whole lot. Magi is a good one to watch. And it's both now on Crunchyroll as well as Netflix. Both arcs. So you can catch it either space, which is good. And then finally, a one that I would recommend, just because it's just plain good, that I've really been enjoying, is Yona.
I don't know anything about Yona.
Yona is good. Yona hasn't finished yet. It's still simulcasting. So you can catch it right now on Crunchyroll and on Hulu. But it basically stars a princess who's lived in a castle all of her life and is very sheltered. And her father is overthrown and killed right in front of her by basically the guy that she's in love with.
Oh, well then.
And so her bodyguard, who's in love with her and has been since they were kids, oh yeah, and is also friends with the guy that killed her dad, has to scurry her away and try to keep her alive. And basically, she may have the blood of an ancient dragon in her.
I mean, because, you know, that's just something to think about.
And so there are, like, these legendary warriors who are also part of the dragon. That
she kind of sounds a little bit like Fushigi Yugi with the constellation.
That she searches out that to bring around her to basically go and wreck shop and right all the wrongs that are in the world. But it's really her journey with dealing with how sheltered she is and then wanting to get out of that, and struggling with the fact that this love that she had maybe wasn't a love, maybe it was a crush and was a schoolgirl thing. And so she has to challenge herself. It's definitely worth a binge watch. I can't say marathon because there's only one season and it's simulcasting and it hasn't even finished the first season yet. But it's a really, really good one to watch. I like it a lot. And then I would say probably, again, on the marathon side, I mean, if you really, really want to get down with, like, a good anime to marathon through, I would probably say that Another is a good one to run through, especially if, like, Future Diary is something that was up your alley.
And we're getting a second.
It's a good time to get familiar with it.
Or technically, I wouldn't even say it's another season. We're getting
another,
which I can't imagine how delicate and intricate that weaving is going to be. Because, I mean, I remember when we were watching Another together, and we both had had different ideas of who the Another was. And yes, Ninja was right, so.
And I figured it out earlier than you did.
Yes. I didn't figure it out until the second to last episode. You probably had three episodes ahead of me, so you were just watching me go, wait a minute.
Yep, I was like, I think it's this. And you told me at that point that I was absolutely wrong, and there was no way it could be that. And I was like, I'm telling you, it's this. You watch.
Yeah.
And then we got all the way to it.
And then I was like, oh, she's right. She's so right.
I almost texted you on the phone, because I remember, like, what episode are you on? What episode are you on?
I know, you were on. I was like, I haven't watched it yet. But,
because I knew it in my bones!
One I'd like to see, them really flesh out, which is a game.
I just want them one more season of Spice and Wolf, man. That's all I want.
I don't think you're getting it,
I'm not getting it, but I want it.
You're not getting it.
I want it. Where they left it off was just not right to not have another plan.
I know.
Not fair.
It's not fair. It's not.
2015, new Spice and Wolf. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, let me go get my pencil and start drawing it right now.
I know how I want the story to end.
I would love to, because I was watching a bit ago OVAs of Corpse Party, which is a game that you can play on the DS, though I think we only have the first two here in America, because the games definitely get real gruesome down the line, pretty bad. And the OVAs that I watched, and I watched them streaming, were all the bad endings from the first game. So I had watched the playthrough of the game, so I knew how the story of the game went.
Right.
So as I started watching the OVAs, I was like, wait a minute, that's not what happened in the game. And I realized because the person I was watching play, one, didn't go for the bad ends. He went straight for the critical good end.
Gotcha.
For the game. So I didn't know that any of this stuff happened. So I was getting more and more freaked out. I'm like, oh my God, that's not what happened. What? Oh wait, it is if you fuck up.
Right.
Oh, which I thought was genius. But I would have loved for them to actually do the full good end. Because that would have, I think, easily have been a 24-episode arc.
Probably.
Like, they could have easily have fleshed... There was enough in the game to do all of that. And it would have been a treat. So, if you know people who are doing Corpse Party, if you guys want to make another anime...
Well, if we want to, like, start a list of, like, animes that deserve other seasons and didn't get them, Dead Man Wonderland...
I didn't watch that one.
Oh, you need to watch Dead Man.
I didn't watch that.
You would love Dead Man. And probably you guys would love Dead Man. It's a little bit graphic... But it's a very good action piece.
Okay.
I think that...
I'd like another Uta Prince series or another Idol series to really like. I really get into them.
Tokyo Ghoul.
Which is... I've been watching that. That's really good.
That shit's good.
It's very good.
It's graphic, but it's good.
Yeah.
I mean,
another Excel World type. I would dig
Where is the freaking Excel World
2?
Where's that at? Because it did really well over here.
It did exceptionally well here.
So, you know, I mean, we could do, and maybe we should, do a whole episode at some point on anime that did not get the final season that they deserve.
Anime that got the jip. Got the that pipe up the poop
that,
shoot.
That left me hanging. No pipes in the poop shoot. No pipes in the poop shoot. I am not a puppet.
No.
No panda. Wrong. So those are good ones to marathon through, and a big chunk of those are available on Crunchyroll.
Another AKB-4408.
I know, I need that final season, man. I'm itching for it, man. You know, I like my saccharin, man.
Every once in a while, I gotta get hit with the saccharin.
You gotta just accept it.
It just writes the world.
To finalize this episode, just a couple of games that have me really looking forward to 2015.
Okay.
Because 2014 ended with some not-so-great game experiences.
Uh-huh.
Lots of promises and not a lot of victory.
You promised me a seafood dinner. You didn't tell me it was going to be the 99-cent buffet.
Yeah. That had imitation crab, you know?
Right.
Not cool.
Not cool.
But I'm hoping that in 2015 there is some... new games that maybe allow one developer to maybe untarnish their name.
Okay.
Right now. I think that...
Are you talking Nintendo?
No, Nintendo's doing just fine. Smash is making them a shit ton of money. Between Amiibos and Smash going stupid...
Then which are you talking about?
Ubisoft.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. How could I forget?
I was about to say.
Anyway, tell us about these games that you're...
You know, you had the crew. And
it's okay. What are you looking forward to in 2015?
All right. Probably first and foremost, for UB, they need a win. So I'm hoping that The Division is everything that it promised and looked like it would be at E3. If The Division is rock solid, then... and that's the Tom Clancy game where the epidemic has hit New York and they showed the demo of you working with a team of other people using new tech to get around the city and take people out. If that works the way it appears to work and runs as well as it appears to run, then that I think that that will do a lot to restore some of the fan base faith in UB.
I really was expecting you to say Batman Arkham Knight.
Of course I'm looking forward to Arkham Knight.
I thought you were going to say that.
And you are a dick for not playing any of the... Because this is the last one in the Arkham series. Knight is it. Rocksteady's already said it. So it's like the trilogy of the movies. It's the trilogy of the game. So this is it. You need to fucking play these Batman games. they start slow, but I'm telling you, once
should
you're
I
in there...
Should I now play them in their actual order?
I think that you should. I think that would be the smart thing to do. Although, I will tell you, the second game is better than the first game.
Okay.
I'm hopeful that the third game is even better than the second game. I'm just saying, you gotta do it. You're a gamer! You must play these things! You cannot avoid! Witcher. Witcher 3.
I didn't play Witcher 2.
I didn't finish Witcher 2, but Witcher 3 looks bananas!
And I mean, Evolve looks pretty fun.
Evolve is kind of... I hope that it's kind of like what God of War was when it first came out, the first game. It changed people's approach to that genre of game. You know, it really took the QuickTime event and made it a thing.
Right, yeah. Everyone was trying to emulate after that.
And use in an interesting way. I think Evolve is the same thing. It is a completely new take on multiplayer. It's not us versus
another NPC. Group of us. It's three of us versus one of you.
It's four of us against one of you.
Right.
And so it's you versus someone else. That changes your approach to strategy. You know, when you're playing an NPC, there's a pattern.
Right, yeah.
You can learn the pattern, you can learn the timing, you can overcome the pattern.
But you can't really do...
But that doesn't really exist with a person.
Right.
And so that's a great mechanic to put into a game. Then to put on top of it that when you are the monster in the game, the longer you stay alive and you take out...
The more powerful you become, right?
Exactly. And you evolve. And you get new abilities. That is such an interesting mechanic that I think it's going to be one, in all honesty, that I hope changes the industry. And at least gets some of the developers and creators thinking in, how can we approach this platform or this genre in a new way? So Evolve is definitely on my list. Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat X looks 10, however you want to call it. The new Mortal Kombat game looks sick, especially with the three different types of gameplay modes that you have. Fighting styles for each of the characters. You can now have a Scorpion that works for you as opposed to you working into your Scorpion.
Right.
I think that's going to be a big thing. And I think that Mortal Kombat is going to show up on the esports rounds now heavily. I think this Mortal Kombat has a chance of doing that, which I think would be great. Bloodborne.
Yes.
I have to say anything other than Bloodborne. There's a lot of blood in it, but Bloodborne.
The fucking Order.
Yeah, which I do, in fact, have pre-ordered. Another game which is on my list, I doubt highly that it's coming out in 2015. I just want to hear more about it in 2015, is Hellblade. So, remember we got teased about it at E3?
Yes.
We saw this real gorgeous trailer. Bunch of people fighting. Lead character was a female character. And I'm pretty sure I texted you, because it was during, I think, Sony's media briefing.
Which was in the evening, so I was home.
And I knew that you were watching the stream, and I texted you, and I was like, that looks like the chick that plays Twing Twang in Heavenly Sword. And then, especially because they showed the trailer that started that Ninja Theory was working on it, which Ninja Theory
did
Heavenly Sword. And they got through this trailer, and they ended it, and it just said Hellblade. And that was it. No coming soon, no nothing, nope. Just Hellblade. No, it was Microsoft's briefing.
It wasn't Sony's briefing.
Hellblade. Nothing exists on this game. Not what it is, what the main characters are. Everybody has theories that it's the sole successor to Heavenly Sword, because Hellblade, Heavenly Sword.
Right.
It's made by Ninja Theory. Ninja Theory had a complicated agreement with Sony about Heavenly Sword, so any Heavenly Sword games would be PlayStation exclusives, because this is Hellblade and not Heavenly Sword. It's why it can be on other platforms. But nothing is known about this game or who the characters are. But I'm telling you that character looks like a grown-up fucking Kai. And if you finished Heavenly Sword And I'm not going to say spoiler alerts, because at this point, if you haven't finished it, you ain't playing it, because it's a PlayStation 3 game. But Heavenly Sword ended with the lead character, Naruko, believing that the person that was destined to wield the sword was actually her sister, Kai. Because if you didn't play the game, you didn't know that Kai was her sister.
Okay.
Until later on, but Kai is her sister.
Okay. I believe you.
And she actually had a older brother, but he got killed.
Okay.
And supposedly he was the one that was destined to wield the sword. But anyway, Naruko was able to defeat the evil general and all that kind of stuff by using the sword as her punishment or payment for doing so. She passes away. Before she does, she's able to, if you watch, I think there's even on Netflix, there's the Heavenly Sword movie, which basically goes through the entire game, the whole story.
Of course.
So you could watch that. But, like, in the movie, there's a period where Kai dies, and Naruko uses the blade's power to bring her back. And ultimately she dies. Kai's left alive, and the last thing that Naruko asks her father, who's basically a bastard, to do is to be the kind of father that he should have always been to Kai and Naruko before she dies, and they set her off, like, kind of sort of Viking style! Down the river in a boat, but instead of lighting it on fire, she's just surrounded by a bunch of lanterns. She goes off into the distance. So, a lot of people believe that Hellblade is the sole successor to Heavenly Sword, and that that lead character,
is Kai,
who just happens to be wearing Kai's signature color in the game, is Kai. And I want all of that to be true, and I just want somebody to tell me that it is in 2015, and that's coming out in 2 years, and I'll be okay. So that's what I need. Ori and the Blind Force.
Yes, I'm also looking forward to No Man's Sky, which will come out in 2015.
No Man's Sky! So it's real funny, as far as my notes go. Oh, where's that? Why, it's on the next page. Panda, it's like you read my notes.
I didn't,
You didn't. But yeah, No Man's Sky is on my list of things that I'm really looking forward to. Below is another one that I'm looking forward to. I like
Below. Like, it's like a Zelda-ish type.
I know, but I like...
I know.
I like Limbo, so, you know...
Da-da-da-da-da.
You know. All right, so... And then, frankly, this one shouldn't surprise anyone.
Uncharted 4?
Uncharted 4, because... Duh.
Duh.
Duh. And also...
Duh.
Doi? I'm gonna be really sad when Uncharted ends.
It can't live on forever.
This is true. I love Nathan Drake. It looked... fucking phenomenal.
And besides, at the minute that this ends, we're starting...
We're just gonna get a spinoff.
Well, not even that, but we're building up with Tomb Raider, because we're gonna get Rise of Tomb Raider 2.
Yeah!
That's so when that ends out, we'll have something else to pick us back up.
Rise of the Tomb Raider. So, that. That's my list. Those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to in 2015. And when I think of that list, I'm like, you know what? I got a pretty awesome 2015 to look forward to, because that's not accounting for the shit that I don't know about.
Right.
Because there's a lot of that out there. So 2015 looks pretty strong. I'm excited about it. The Order, I think, is going to be great. We will definitely be talking about that in February when it pops up. I think that there's going to be more games that Nintendo is going to announce that are going to leverage amiibos, and hopefully in unique ways, and developers can think of some really interesting things to do with them. So 2015 is shaping up to be pretty fucking strong. I'm pretty stoked. So that's it.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to end it there because it's a good time to end at the end.
Yes, I agree. And the end is better to end than at the beginning.
Yeah, you don't want to end at the beginning because that's just rude.
Very rude.
But what is not rude is going to our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, subscribing to make sure that as soon as we put out new reviews, previews, or other articles that you get them, interact with them, share them on your socials. It's all good. We love seeing people sharing our stuff. You can also get our podcast, which we highly recommend that you subscribe to, either in iTunes via the desktop application or on your iOS device through the podcast application, searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. We're also available in the Microsoft Store. We're also available on Stitcher Radio. We're also available via VogNetwork.com. So, you want to catch some great shows like our show, or more importantly, not like our show, but also still geeky, then definitely check out VogNetwork.com and some of the great shows over there. You can also catch additional great Esh shows, because we got a bunch.
We had
a network going. We're a mini umpire unto ourselves.
We're a mini empire and an umpire. You're out!
You are out. And you are in. No, you're not. But you can be in by checking out some of the other great shows from the Esh Network. Like on Tuesdays, brand new episodes of No Borders, No Race, hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck, KBD, spinning all kinds of indie great stuff, things that you've never heard of, and maybe some things that you have. You definitely want to make sure that you check out No Borders, No Race. If it's indie, it's in there. On Wednesday, for new beats for your feet, make sure that you're checking out geekagro.com. Trap, EDM, house, techno, all the groovy stuff can be found at geekagro.com. And then on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues program, call in live, share your thoughts, issues, whatever, chitty chat, be part of the show, be on the stream, be on the YouTubes. It's a good time, trust us. And for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, be sure that you're following us on social. We share all kinds of stuff there, trust us. We will improve your day by +5 awesome sauce.
More than +5.
Well, I don't want to overpromise, because if somebody
comes back +7
is like, hey, I only got +4 awesome sauce, I'm gonna be like, what do you want me to do? You're kind of stuck. Like, that's
maybe cool. He has a really bad number generator thing.
Well, you know what? I don't want to be responsible for that, so I'm just saying +5.
Fine.
Is it comfortable? I know it's more than that. Those social channels that you want to hit us up on are Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. Or Twitter at ESH News. So with that, all the business is done. I'm turning to my sister and saying, hey, yo, sis.
Yeah?
What shit you digging this week?
Honest trailers. They are so fucking funny.
That's good times.
Watch them.
That's good times.
Enjoy them. They are great. What are you digging this week?
Marathon and Key and Peele from season one all the way through to current season.
Wow, that's dedication.
Well, sometimes you need to laugh, and when you got a week off, you're like, no Daily Show, no Colbert, no Midnight. What am I gonna do? Key and Peele. Key to the rescue. East West Bowl, baby.
Okay.
East West Bowl. All day. Exactly.
So,
with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Peace.
Deuces.